I trust that we can continue on with the spirit of worship in looking at God and His Word and His, the many truths in relation to Him. I'd like to have you turn with me this morning to 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to center our thoughts particularly on a phrase that we find in that chapter. Before we go to that, I'd like to tell you about something that I would have experienced a number of years ago. I don't know how many of you have ever been to the Oregon Caves. I was just thinking about that here in relation to this. I guess I need to get there again. It's been a long time. But there was a guide that took us through the Oregon Caves there. And I don't remember all the details, but we went various places. And then he took us into a large cavern, and we looked around. He says, all right, he says, now I'm going to turn out the light. And he says, there will be absolutely no light in this room. It's going to be total darkness. And so he turned out the lights, and you could almost feel the darkness there. And then he got something out of his pocket and he struck a match. And that match was enough light to see the group of people that were going through the caverns. You could see the cavern walls. It was amazing how much light that little match made in total darkness. The phrase that I'd like to think about this morning, if you have your Bibles open, we find in verse 5 that says that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And so God is much more than a match. He is much more than an artificial light. There is no darkness. There is never a time when in His presence we need a match to find the way. We have a God who gives light. We have a God who dwells in light. But we have a God who is light. And that is interesting. And so I would understand that light is God's nature, not an attribute, not a characteristic of God, but it is. It is God. Or God is light. Now also God is love. We could go down that route. All right, I'd like to read verses 5 to 7. And then we want to go over to the Gospel of John chapter 1 and read a few verses there. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. A little bit later in the message, we'd like to get into this aspect, a little bit of this fellowship that we find in the light. But first of all, we want to think of God as being light. Now let's go over to John. John 1, it's interesting that in the Gospel of John and in the Epistle of 1 John, both of the first chapters deal with this matter of light. I'd like to read verses 6 to 14. And here we have the introduction of the Word of God, which we know to be Jesus. The Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right? Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I suppose your Bible is like mine. The word light here is capitalized. Now, I realize that's probably a man's addition there. I don't know if the original Greek, if that showed that this as being a personal pronoun, but I'm assuming that it does. John the Baptist came as a witness of the capital L-I-G-H-T, which is Jesus. He is the light. So now as we think of light, light represents all that is righteous, all that's holy, just, good, perfect. Darkness, on the other hand, represents the devil and all evil and wickedness, unrighteousness, and sin. In the spiritual realm, there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of light and there's the kingdom of darkness. And as we think about that, the kingdom of light is such because of the presence of God. The kingdom of darkness is such because God is not there. He is absent from that kingdom, and so therefore it is dark. All right, first of all this morning, let's look a little bit at the source of light. We've already talked about that a little bit. I don't know how to make light. I don't think any of you brethren could go in your workshop and make light. There's a intricate balance of prismatic hues. Like if you take a prism and shine light in that, it deflects those different rays into different colors and so on. I think you're all aware of that. Just to get a little bit of an idea of what light, natural light, is all about, I went to the World Book of Encyclopedia and tried to read about that, but you know, I soon got lost in the scientific jargon of what was written there. You know, there were different theories of different scientists over the centuries and what they came up with, and that now they're saying that there are certain atoms that are excited by energy, and when these are unexcited, then that's light. I don't know. I don't quite understand all that, how that all works. It talked about electromagnetic waves. It says there's reflection and refraction and absorption of a ray of light. Well, you know, I finally just put the World Book back on the shelf, and I decided I think we could understand light much better from a spiritual angle, from what the Word of God has to say. And we understand that our God is light. We understand that our God created light. We also understand that He dwells in light. Going to Genesis 1, I found this interesting to think about this. Now, a characteristic of God is light, and yet God created light. In the first three verses of Genesis 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And so the world was created, and it was dark. Now, God didn't just come and just dwell there himself, necessarily, to give it light. But he created light. It says in verse 3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." It's interesting that he later created the sun and the moon. And so this was not the sun and the moon in the light that he created. So we think of light as being necessary for life, for growth, beauty, joy. Could not be without light. It's essential for all of life. Where darkness would tend to bring death and decay, so on. And so I don't fully understand how this was, but God created a physical form of that which He is. Do you follow that? He is light, but He created a physical form of that. And so He created light. Now, as we're thinking about this matter of light, and maybe we'll get into this just a little bit more later, it'd be interesting. I wish we had the time just to go around and see, what do you think of when the word glory is, like the glory of the Lord, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory sometimes we hear about. What do you think of in relation to that? Well, you know, In my mind, I thought that had to do with light. Why? Well, maybe because, we just hear the last couple weeks, we heard again the story of the shepherds out there on the hills by Bethlehem. And the glory of the Lord shone upon them, round about them. Shining would have the thought of light. But I was rather surprised when I actually got to digging into this, the meaning of this word glory. And what it actually means is, it represents how or in whatever way God reveals Himself to man. And so it's a self manifestation. And so the word dignity and praise and honor are synonymous. In fact, sometimes those are the same Greek word that's translated glory is maybe translated honor or praise. And so it really meant a lot to me when I thought about that when God reveals Himself to man, many times, not always, but many times it's in relation to light. Because God is light. When God reveals Himself, lots of times it's in relation to love. Because God is love. And so in the Old Testament we see a number of places where God manifested Himself, made Himself known by way of light. I think of the burning bush of Moses. I think of the pillar of fire as they went from Egypt to Canaan. I think of the Holy of Holies. I think of the temple, how the light of God came into the temple. And as I mentioned, sometimes that's called the Shekinah glory. The same also in the New Testament. There's the appearance of the angels. And I believe there was light there. It was a dark night. The star of Bethlehem. Saul on the way to Damascus. I was going to look this up. I think the artist's rendition of the baptism of Jesus shows light. I don't know that the... I didn't take the time to look that up. I don't think that it really says that in the Gospels there. But anyhow, God is light. And so often, when God the Father or God the Son is manifest, it is through the brightness of light. In John 8, verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And so Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Now there's an illustration of that at the time of the Transfiguration. If you look there, when Jesus was on the Mount, it says this, "And He was transfigured before them, His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light." And so there, when Jesus was in the presence of the Father there on the Mount of Transfiguration, his face shone as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. It reminds me of when Moses went up to the mount 40 days and he came back down and he had to cover his face because it was shining. On the opposite side of that, when we think of the day of crucifixion, this not the day of transfiguration, but on the day of crucifixion, when Jesus was suffering upon the cross and the Father turned himself away for whatever reason, could not look upon it, there was darkness through the whole land. There was not light. There was darkness. All right. Secondly, here this morning, I'd like to think of us then being exposed to the light. And so we have the source of light, which is God, Jesus Christ. What do we do then? How can we be exposed to that light, and how is it going to affect us if we do? Do we desire to be exposed to divine light? God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. Do you want that light to shine upon you? Because do you know what? If it does, it's going to show up your sinful self. It's going to show up how dark and evil and outside of God you are. I'd like to turn to John 3. The words of Jesus here in talking to Nicodemus. We know that story. How Nicodemus came to him by night and Jesus told him that you must be born again and so on. Clear at the end of that little discourse, verses 19 to 21, Jesus has this to say to Nicodemus. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. And so Jesus was saying, there's going to be a lot of people that don't want to come in contact with me. They are going to, they're not going to come to the light. Because if they do, there's going to be a reproof on the deeds that have been done. But if someone wants the truth, he's going to come to that light, that his deeds might be made manifest. So nothing can remain dark in the presence of God. He will lighten it. No sin can stand in his presence. We understand that because he is holy. No sin will enter there. We sing sometimes about heaven. Exposure to the light will show up areas of darkness. And so the Word of God is like a searchlight on my life and on yours. And its strong beam reaches even the small crack or crevice and exposes any darkness. Psalms 119 verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." And so if we really want to understand God's will for our lives, we need to allow the light of His Word to penetrate us, and then it gives understanding. It takes a exposure to the true light of God to be able to see the faults, the shortcomings, the sins in our own lives, because otherwise, you know, we tend to justify ourselves and maybe think that we're pretty good, whatever. I have to think too, now we've been talking a lot about light illuminating, but light also purifies. You've probably been out somewhere where maybe there's running water in a creek or something, and as that water runs over stones, and as the sunlight shines on that, it purifies the water. And ladies, sisters, why do you put a a garment that's been soiled, that's maybe has a little bit of an odor to it or something, you put it outside in the sunshine to freshen it up, because light purifies. I thought of another example. In the earlier days of my first marriage, we lived in the house that's just south of us there, south of Raymond's. We call it the Commons Place. We lived there for about 8 years. And so the landlady had a room upstairs that we had no access to. She had a bunch of her things stored there. We could use the rest of the house, but that room was off limits. Well, you know a little bit how it is. You kind of get curious. Well, what's there? So it was locked, but you could kind of look through and see. And you know there were all sorts of cobwebs, bats, odor. It had an odor, and you just let it go. Just get away from it. But you know, if that could have been opened up, and if light could have been brought in there, and it could have cleansed it, and it could have purified it, it could have made it fresh, it could have made it clean again. Well, I had to think about that in relation to our lives. Exposure to light purifies the soul, purifies the heart. Makes it fresh, makes it clean, gets out the old cobwebs, gets out the odor. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now we already talked about that. There at the time of creation. This same God shines in our heart to give the light. And what is the light? The light is the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so when we're born again, God commands the darkness to depart and He replaces it with light. Now a child of God that's truly been exposed to the light of God is going to reflect that light. And so it's also interesting to me as I go back to the time of the creation, other than God creating the world, His first creation was light, His last creation was man. And man was made to portray, or made, I should say, in the image of God. Made in His image. And this image was made in such a way that it could reflect the character of God. Reflect that light. And so God has given us a choice. To expose ourselves completely to the light, or to reject the light and remain in darkness. And what a choice that is. I have to think, physically speaking, light reveals. Intellectually, light is knowledge. Morally, light is purity. And we could go down those lines. But I'd like now to go to the second part of this passage that we read in 1 John 1, where it says that if we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we're a liar. But if we walk in the light, we're going to have fellowship one with another, and our sins will be cleansed. And so I'd like to think a little bit on this aspect of walking in the light. I think maybe there's a song in the church and Sunday school hymnal that would preach this message better than I can. Why don't you turn to number 90, John Did you leave that number 90 in the first sentence down there? Notice the words here. In the first stanza, the second score there, it says, His Spirit only can bestow who reigns in light above. The second one says, In whom no darkness is. And the third, And God Himself is light. So that's what we've been trying to say. So how does that affect us now in our lives, in our Christian life and experience? I'd like to have you turn with me to Ephesians 5. And it talks here about how we were in darkness, but we now are in the light. Ephesians 5, verses 8 to 14. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Here he says that it's even a shame to speak of those things that are done in secret. It's kind of like that room that I was telling you about in that house that we lived. It's just some things that you don't want to open up. It doesn't smell good. It's rotten. But things that are manifest to the light and are reproved, those are taken care of. And then we can walk with God. It says in verse 8 there, walk as children of light. And so we do not pattern our life after those who walk in darkness. But our pattern should be according to God, according to His Word, according to the light of His being. 1 Peter 2:9 says, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so God has called us out of darkness. He has called us into His marvelous light. And so walking in the light, if I would understand right, is a conscious abiding in His presence. It's not just, here I am, kind of hope I get close to God here sometime. But it's a yielding to His will. It's abiding in His presence. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 and 5, and this is given somewhat in the context of the coming of God. It says, our coming of Christ, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." And so I trust that that's true of this audience here today, that we are all of the children of light. We are children of the day. We are not of the night. We are not of darkness. One thing I've thought about a number of times, you know, the closer that one gets to the light, the better view that we have of who we are, of ourselves. You know, if there's a yard light out somewhere and you go out there and the further away you get from that light, the longer your shadow. And you can get to looking like a pretty big, important fellow the further you get from that light. But if you really want to see the true measure of yourself, get right up to the light and there's not much of a shadow there. And I think there's a parallel there that the closer we get to the Lord, the less that we see of ourselves and the less important that we see. All right, let's think a little bit now in walking in the light. Let's think of fellowship. 1 John 1, 7, that I read there says, "But if we walk in the light, He is in the light. As He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." And so this morning, walking in the light is not a lonely path. Walking in the light leads to interaction and fellowship with other believers. And so if we're going to walk in the light, and if we're going to have fellowship, and I'm thinking now particularly of our congregation here, our fellowship can go beyond this, but if we have true fellowship, it's on the basis of light. And if we have true light, it's on the basis of God. It's on the basis of His Word. And so any variation from the true light hinders fellowship. It's going to get in the way of fellowship. And so our fellowship is not true fellowship. Let's put it that way. True fellowship is not based on similar likes and dislikes of earthly possessions, of earthly things, of things we do. You know, we have those who maybe have the same occupation, and they'll be some kind of a trade organization or something, because there's a common interest there. There's those who have the same hobby. Maybe you find a commonality with somebody that has the same kind of furniture that you do. Or the same vehicle, or the same dress material, or number of things from a human standpoint. But that's not really fellowship. That is common interests. But the fellowship that's found in the light of God and His Word is the true basis of a close relationship. And so if we're going to really have fellowship, it needs to be based on God and not just on things. All right, let's go to 1 John again. This time chapter 2, 1 John 2, verses 8 to 11 says, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now that's some pretty strong words there. If we hate our brother, we're in darkness. If we love our brother, we abide in the light. And he goes on and says this again. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because darkness has blinded his eyes. And so fellowship is loving our fellow Christians. Now, having said that, fellowship doesn't necessarily mean that we're always going to see everything eye to eye. But we love one another. We're concerned for the spiritual health of a brother or a sister. And even recognizing that there may be differing opinions on issues, we need to allow that as long as it's within the framework of the light of the Word of God. And so that doesn't mean we can just open the door for anything and everything, but it does mean that not everybody has to see everything just exactly the way I see it. Another thing that fellowship does, when someone comes to the light and their sins are forgiven, they are cleansed by and purified by the light of God, then we also need to forgive those sins as brothers and sisters in our walk, in our fellowship one with another. Going on to another little aspect of walking in the light, I had to think about this, that light, the light of God changes us to creatures of light. It changes us from a creature of sin and darkness to a creature that reflects the light of the glory of God. Let's turn to Matthew 5, where it talks here about being the light of the world. And I would like to hasten to say that our light is much different than God's light, because God is light. We can't say that's poor English. I was going to say that we is light. That I am. I can't say I am light. But I can reflect that light. I can be a vessel that reflects that light, reflects the glory of God. All right, Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So I would gather from what Jesus says here that there are things that we can do. There are things that we can allow to get in the way of people being able to see the light of God reflecting from our lives. Because it says to let your light shine. And so, it's important, because the light that an unbeliever or someone that's in darkness sees, perhaps the only light that they're ever going to see is the light that's reflecting in the life of the Christian. And so, I think it should be a challenge to us. Especially to those of us who walk in a common fellowship of the light. You know, I can't just do what I want to do. I can't just go my separate way. Because what I do as an individual affects the light of the corporate body. So as children of light, we've been placed here in a church at Halsey. My understanding is that I have not been placed here just to do what I want to do, but to be channels of the light of God, to reflect the light of God. And so our lives as a church reflect light or darkness. They reflect good or bad. And you know, if there's any darkness in any member of our congregation, it casts a shadow on the whole body. And Jesus said that He wants to come for a pure bride, without spot or wrinkle. And you know, I think it's been our desire to be a witness here in this community. But if we're not living faithful to God, then we can't be that light that we ought to be. But you say, well, this is all a personal matter. You know, I'll do it my way. It doesn't matter. You go your way, I'll go mine. But that's not fellowship. That's not the way God operates as far as light is concerned. True fellowship cuts to the core of individualism. And the light can permeate from there. Just a few concluding thoughts then. Where God is, there is no darkness. And so from the beginning of time, God was present at creation and there was light. God was with Israel when they went from Egypt to Canaan. There was light. God dwelt in the temple that was built for His habitation and there was light. God came into the world in the form of flesh. He is a light. And when the Holy Spirit indwells a believer, that believer walks in light. Now there's going to come a time when time is over and the child of God dwells in His presence forevermore. There will be no need of created light. I'm not sure what's going to happen to the light that God created, but there'll be no need of that. There will be no need of the sun or the moon. There won't be any need of a candle or of electricity. We'll never need to say, you know, it's getting just a little bit dark, let's turn on the light. I'd like to read a couple of verses from Revelation. First of all, Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 23 says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Going over to the 22nd chapter, verse 5, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." So I'm thankful this morning as I think about this that God is light, in Him is no darkness at all, and He has asked us as His children to walk as children of light. We'll call for a closing number.